Our first scripture lesson today is from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 55, verses 1 through 5. Listen now for God's word to you in this reading of scripture. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you that have no money, come, buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk, without money and without a price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me, and eat what is good, and delight yourself in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me. Listen so that you may live. I will make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for David. See, I made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander for the peoples. See, you shall call nations that you do not know, and nations that do not know you shall run to you. Because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. For the word in creation, for the word in scripture, for the word within us. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Amber and Cheryl. Our second scripture reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Matthew, the 14th chapter of Matthew. This is a very familiar story to most of us. It definitely makes the top 10 list of stories from the New Testament and probably is up there in the top 5. Beginning at verse 13. Now when Jesus heard this, he withdrew from there in a boat to a deserted place by himself. But when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. And when he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them and cured their sick. When it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is late now. Send the crowds away so that they may go into the villages and buy food for themselves." And Jesus said to them, "They need not go away. You give them something to eat." They replied, "We have nothing here but 5 loaves and 2 fish. And he said, "Bring them here to me." Then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples. And the disciples gave them to the crowds. And all ate and were filled. They took up what was left over of the broken pieces, 12 baskets full. And those who ate were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. And I would add, which would probably bring the crowd closer to 15,000. For the word in creation, for the word in scripture, and for the word within us. Thanks be to God. There used to be an old radio news announcer that many of us and our listeners and viewers will remember, who had a tagline on part of his broadcast called "The Rest of the Story." Well, I want to share a little bit about the rest of this story. And it's the rest of the story that kind of leads up to this famous account in Matthew that we call the feeding of the 5,000 or the miracle of multiplication. Well, what leads up to this story in the Gospel of Matthew is that Herod has arrested John the Baptist. John the Baptist, you will No, as Jesus' cousin. He is also Jesus' mentor. He is Jesus' friend. He is the one who baptized Jesus in the Jordan. Herod has arrested John. He's bound him up. He's put him in prison. And he's done all of this on account of Herodias. Herodias is Herod's brother Philip's wife. Because John had been condemning Herodias and Herod and Philip because it was not lawful for them to be in the relationships that they were in. And Herod wanted to put John to death for all of this because John was telling the truth about what was going on in their family. And so he arrests him, but he doesn't put him to death because John is so popular and he is regarded as a prophet. And so he does not want to do that. But along came Herod's birthday. And they were having a big birthday celebration for Herod. And as part of his birthday party, the daughter of Herodias was dancing for everyone. And it pleased Herod so much, the dance did, that he said he would give her anything she wanted. And Herodias leaned over to her daughter and said, "I want John the Baptist's head on a plate." And this was the young woman's request. Herod had made the promise, and so he had to follow through. The story says that he was grieved, but I think he was probably only grieved because it was spoiling his birthday party. He wanted John the Baptist dead just like anybody else. And so he had John the Baptist beheaded, and the head was brought on a platter and given to the girl, who brought it to her mother. And John the Baptist's disciples went to Jesus. At first, they took the body and they buried it. And then they went to tell Jesus. And that's where our reading begins. That's what this little phrase means at the beginning of our story this morning. Now when Jesus heard this, when Jesus heard this horrendous story, it says he withdrew from there in a boat to a deserted place by himself. Jesus is exhausted. Jesus is spent. Jesus is drained. Jesus is tired. Jesus is sad. I couldn't help but think of some lyrics from an old song. Actually, the song was written by the Beatles. But it goes like this. It says, "I'm so tired. I haven't slept a wink. I'm so tired. My mind is on the blink." You'd say, "I'm putting you on," but it's no joke. It's doing me harm. You know, I can't sleep. I can't stop my brain. You know, it's been weeks. I'm going insane. You know, I'd give you everything I've got for a little peace of mind. I think this is where Jesus was when he wanted to get on that boat and go to a deserted place and be by himself after hearing about the death of John, this horrendous, useless, senseless death. And yet, he goes ashore. He goes ashore to a waiting crowd that has been following him, probably circling the Sea of Galilee, the Lake of Gennesaret, following him. He can't get away. But he chooses to go ashore because he has compassion, which is a burning in the gut for these people, because he knows they are also tired. He knows they are also weary. And I would suggest to us this morning that we are both Jesus wanting some relief and the people, the crowds, waiting on the shore for some kind of relief. I'm tired. We're all tired. Tired of isolation, tired of suffering, tired of death, tired of inequality, tired of hatred, tired of violence, tired of ignorance, tired of empty bravado, tired of tweets. We are tired. Teachers, nurses, food industry workers, police are all tired of carrying the burden of societal ills created by predatory greed, incompetent government, and soulless religion. We are tired. We are in the crowd, yearning for something, seeking healing, wholeness, and hope. People needing human dignity. We need clean air and clean water and safe domicile. We need work that provides living wages. We need universal health care that doesn't bankrupt. We need affordable housing, utilities. We need quality public education for our children. And I would add safe public education for our children. We need, just like those people on that hillside, at the end of the day, even though there have been healings all day long, there is still need. And the disciples come to Jesus with scarcity. They come saying, "Oh, Jesus, Jesus, oh, it's bad, Jesus. We've got all these people. It's the end of the day. How are we going to feed these people? We need to send them away. We need to get them into the villages so they can buy food." And Jesus says, "Well, why don't you feed them?" "Oh, but we don't have enough to feed them. All we have are a few fish and a few loaves of bread." But Jesus has read Isaiah. Jesus knows the prophet Isaiah, the prophet of abundance. Jesus has heard the words of Isaiah. "Ho, listen! Everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. You that have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money, without a price. Come. There is enough for everybody." Jesus has Isaiah in mind when he tells the disciples, "Bring me what you have, it is enough." He also knows another thing too. He knows that a hillside of Jewish mothers would not be out there with their families without some food. He knows that. And if we're honest with that story, we know it too. So the real miracle of this story is not some magic trick. It's not some magical act that turns this small amount of food into a large amount of food. The miracle of this story is a simple act of sharing. If you look back in the previous chapter of Matthew, you'll see that Jesus has already told his disciples the parable of the mustard seed and the parable of the yeast. He's already told them it doesn't take much. The smallest amount of love, the smallest amount of sharing, the smallest amount of caring is multiplied. And when the disciples share their meager fare, all the picnic baskets start opening up and the sharing begins. And when it's over, there are 12 baskets left over. It just occurred to me that the story says this was late in the evening, so I'm assuming they probably spent the night on that hill. Maybe those 12 baskets were what they had for breakfast. A miracle of sharing. One act of sharing multiplies. So you see, this really is the miracle of multiplication. But it's not in the magical sense that most of us have always heard it. It's the miracle of giving what we have. Even in our scarcity, what we have is the path to abundance. We're tired. We are tired. But we also have hope. And it doesn't take much hope. Just enough to be multiplied. Just enough yeast to make the dough rise. The tiniest seed to create a home for the birds. It is indeed a miracle. And what we need today is the miracle of sharing. We need the miracle of caring for one another. Amen. I watched an amazing video early this morning on YouTube. This is a video that's been talked about online for several days this week, and I had not seen it yet. I thought I had, but I was looking at the wrong one. That shows you my technical expertise online there. But I finally saw this video that everybody was talking about, and they were talking about how amazingly this video was edited. And it is an amazing piece of video editing. I would suggest that you try to find this video. It's a Nike ad. But what it talks about is how we all are working together. And in so many ways, we're all in the same place. As I mentioned in the sermon earlier, we're all tired. We're all tired of everything right now. But I want to read to you one phrase toward the end of this video. It says, "When things aren't fair, we'll come together for change. No matter how bad it gets, we will always come back stronger, because nothing can stop what we can do together." And this story of this crowd on a hillside sharing a meal happened because they did it together. My friends, each and every one of us has something to participate. And just like that mustard seed, just like that yeast, just like those fish, just like those bread, when we give what we have, it multiplies. It's as simple as that. So I suggest that you go into your life, even if it's from a computer screen, and try to practice that. Because whatever you give, it will be multiplied. Amen.